All right, our speaker, Miranda, will now share her experience for 15 minutes on emotional sobriety. Thank you for allowing us to record, and it's all yours.
Thank you, Brandy, and thank you for this invitation. My name is Miranda. I am in Athens in Greece. I'm an addict, and I am a grateful member of the 12-step world for the past 13 years. I qualify for membership for the following fellowships: Overeaters Anonymous, Hair Pullers Anonymous, Adult Children of Alcoholics and Dysfunctional Families Anonymous, and Survivors of Incest Anonymous. Of all these, I am most active in Overeaters Anonymous, because that was the main addiction that was killing me when I came in 13 years ago. I've worked the BBA way, and I love it. It's considered, I heard, the college of Big Book and 12 Steps, but in fact, for me, it kind of was a bit of kindergarten in the sense that it clarified a few things that I had completely not understood all these years. As far as chaos creating is concerned, I fall in the category of heavy drinker, I would say, not real alcoholic, because when I realize I am able to stop, when I realize I am creating chaos, I am, I just add this because I understand that a lot of members in this meeting are in the codependent side of things. Anyway, so my sponsor, Cindy, she asked me to share today, and I never say no to Cindy. Love you, Cindy. Although I did think that she had made a mistake and she had addressed this request to somebody else and by mistake sent a message to me. Because when I first came into the room 13 years ago, I heard people sharing about their feelings and their emotions. They were all talking about fear. And I was like, what are they talking about? What fears? Am I afraid of anything? Snakes. That was it. That was the only thing that I could think that I was afraid of. In other words, everything else, everything was under the surface. It was like an iceberg and everything was below the surface. The second something risked surfacing, a feeling that was unpleasant, I would send it back down, mainly with food or some other compulsive behavior. So I needed an emotions one-on-one, basically. Like they said in the Big Book in the second appendix of the educational variety, but in my case, it wasn't just on the spiritual side. It certainly was on the spiritual side because I came in as a very angry atheist and needed a lot of education on that side, but also on the emotional side of things. So I had a list of feelings, which I still carry with me everywhere I go, with about 100 different feelings. And as things would happen in my life, at work, in the family, anywhere, anything I was doing, and I felt something, I always put the something in quotation marks because I couldn't give it a name. I then open the list and go down alphabetically from A to Z to see if one of those resonated. And wow, turns out I did have feelings. And I did have fears. And when I worked BBA, I found 188 of them. 188 fears. A lot of them were the opposites of, so I had like fear of success, fear of failure as well, fear of everything, So obviously there was something wrong there. But they all boiled down to three fears, which were the core ones. One was I'm alone, abandoned, that's it. The second one was that I'm insane, because both my parents were narcissists and it was all crazy in our household. And the third one, very interesting, was I was afraid of my own feelings. I was afraid of feeling them. So what had happened was this bizarre thing that I had the fear, and I had the fear on top of that, of feeling the fear. It was just horrible. So the big book, it says in page 52 in The Bedevilments, how do I experience life inside? And it says there that we were unable, we were having we couldn't control our emotional natures. Misery, depression, uselessness, fear, full of fear, unhappy. And so that was me when I came in, when I started feeling those feelings. And the promises at page 83, they say that we'll find a new freedom, happiness, serenity, peace of mind, sanity, self-pity will go, will disappear, uselessness will disappear, and we will outgrow fear. I mean, my goodness. And I've heard in many places said that step 10 is about emotional sobriety, and step 11 is about spiritual sobriety. I think it's a bit of an artificial distinction because, you know, step 11 is needed for every step. But anyway, it's my personal opinion. But what do I do when there's something going on with me that in my feelings, in my emotions? And basically, inventory it. If I'm not writing inventory, I'm living it. Others say I'm creating it, but whatever it is, I'm much better off writing. I use a form that was given to me by my sponsor, and I love that form because, yes, sure, it has what we know in BBA. What am I feeling, and how am I affected? What's affected? So my self-esteem, my ambition, my security, my personal relations, sex relations, pocketbook, and is there any fear? And then the sick man's prayer. Okay, we know all that. And then the turnaround. What's my part? Where was I? Self-seeking, selfish, dishonest, fearful. And then there is this amazing turnaround of fear. And here, usually, I find that the fear that I'm feeling is slightly different to the fear that I thought I had at the start. It's deeper. So, for instance, if the dog, if the neighbor's dog has pooed on my the entrance of my house, and I feel disturbed, the initial fear is, you know, that he does not respect me, or something like that. I fear that I'm not respected. But then later, once I've gone through all the process of seeing where has I have been affected. And my defects. The fear is that I'm worthless, really. My opinion of myself, that I don't deserve somebody to show me any consideration. And then the question is, why do I have this fear? And it always goes back to childhood trauma. So already when I'm here and I'm asking the question, I start to get compassion, feel compassion for me for having this feeling, this fear. Whom did I rely on? Myself? Did it help? No. What does it look like, visualize, if I were to rely on higher power, God? I like the great mystery at the moment. That's the wording I'm using. And then it starts to feel so much better. It's not me. I went for years, I used to call my higher power the competent one. I'm a lawyer, and it's a big deal with law, what court is competent. So if I have a family dispute, I'm not going to go to a labor court to have it heard. Or if I am in dispute with my employer in Greece, I'm not going to go have that dispute heard in the court in New York. So it always helped me to ask the question, well, who's competent? Is it me or is it something else? 99% of the time, it's the great mystery's competence and not mine. So already, if I visualize this myself in the arms of this great mystery, already I'm feeling so much better. And then, of course, I ask the question, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you have me be, not do. But of course, do comes across quite, I see
5 minutes, Miranda.
five. Thank you. And then at the end, here I like to do it to turn it into the answer like in two-way prayer. So second person, my child, I get you. I understand. I'm here. And I always like my God to tell me I'm right. I still have that in me. I was told in the 12-step rooms that if my God doesn't work for me, I can retire him or fire him and get a new one. And so mine, I want him to always tell me I'm right. I still have that in me. And then, then he, whatever it tells me, how he would have me be. And then at the end, there is this wonderful prayer which says, thank you, God, for what is. Help me fit myself to what is and not try to change it or fix it. But help me be great, thankful, and depend on you. And if there are any amends to be made, I'll make them afterwards. So by the time I've done this form, everything is calm. And I see where the problem is. And the promise of step 10 is that I'll get a sense of flow of the spirit inside. That's on page 85. And the sixth sense and the gut feeling that I had lost as a child. I had lost that and now it is back. And my feelings now, the way I see them, when I am disturbed, I see them as cues and signals to my precious needs. And they, instead of being afraid or annoyed when I have to do a new inventory, I am grateful that my higher power is showing me the path to my future growth. And I want to end with a myth. I'm Greek, I have to do that. So some of you may have heard of the myth of the Minotaur, who was this horrible beast, lived in Crete in the middle of the labyrinth, half man, half animal. I think it was a bull. And what he represents is all that is dark inside of me, the fear, the anger, the worry, the all these shadow material, all the nasty things that I am so afraid of. But you know what his name is? His name is Asterion, star. That's an interesting name for the Minotaur, right? Why? Because he shines a light to what is needed, to what is beautiful, to future growth. So this is what I want to share, and thank you for having me, and love to hear your experience. Shed some hope on this topic. Thank you.
Thank you, Miranda, on the recording.